First case for argument is Gallagher versus Kendall. Mr. Stafer.
May it please the court, my name is Ronald Stafer and I represent the plaintiff appellant Gary Gallagher in this matter. The district court erred in two key respects in granting summary judgment for the detective defendants. First, at times in its opinion, it adopted the defendant's version of the interrogation and concluded that the detective's reports were not materially misleading, and thus there was no Brady or Giglio evidence to produce. Second, it concluded that assuming that the detective reports were materially and intentionally wrong, they did not violate Brady and Giglio because Mr. Gallagher knew that the defendants had lied. And thus, when the detective defendants withheld what really happened from the prosecutors during that interrogation.
Well, were these police reports admitted at trial?
No, they were what was given to the
What did the police testify at trial about the interrogation?
They testified completely consistently with their reports, Your Honor.
You don't discuss their testimony, do you, in your brief?
It is described, Your Honor, at tab 10.
Well, then your brief. Your brief doesn't discuss. So your complaint, in other words, is not about what they said at the trial, fabricated testimony or something like that, but just about their failure to have, turned over these reports to the...
It is the complaint, Your Honor.
Your complaint is that the reports were false and those induced the prosecution?
Yes. Well, our complaint is that the reports were false, and that resulted in an unfair trial, because the true...
I don't understand that. I thought your argument was that the reports were false, and that induced... and they induced the prosecution.
Well, that is not quite the argument, Your Honor. The argument is that the reports were false. The true version was not given to the defense for use at trial, and thus he could not impeach the detective's testimonies with the true version.
The true version? I don't understand that. I don't know.
Well, the true version, Your Honor, must be assumed at this juncture in summary judgment, Mr. Gallagher's version.
Just one set of reports. You don't have true reports and false reports.
Right. These reports were false. The court must assume that in the context of summary judgment. Mr. Gallagher has a completely different version of what happened during this interrogation than the detectives. At this stage, because the district court must view, if there's a view the facts in the light most favorable to Mr. Gallagher, he must accept that Mr. Gallagher's version of what happened is the true version. That was withheld from the prosecution.
I don't really understand that.
Mr. Gallagher said, Your Honor, that he...
Is your concern there was perjured testimony at trial? Is that what you're worried about?
Well, there was perjured testimony at trial.
What was you complaining about?
What I'm complaining about is that the defendant was not given the opportunity to impeach that testimony with the Brady and Giglio material that he was deprived of. That's the complaint.
It's such an indirect kind of argument. I don't understand.
Well,
if there's perjured testimony at trial, why isn't that the violation?
Well, of course, we're foreclosed from suing for perjured testimony at trial.
Well, why is that?
Because the police officers have immunity for testimony.
Well, you can't sue them.
Yes. And
so this is an end run around that rule.
Well, it is not, Your Honor. It is what Newsom tells us, what this court told us in Newsom, is the claim that should be brought. It is the fact that there is no, that the police pressure must be brought to bear, the you said in Newsom. At that point where the police have to tell the prosecutor what the truth is, and that is where you can encourage the participants in the criminal justice system to abide by their constitutional responsibilities.
But if we thought, or the district court thought, that the Gallagher would have been prosecuted anyway, then doesn't your case evaporate?
No, Your Honor. Newsom does away with that. Newsom says that is not the place to look. First of all, on this record, the district court didn't address that, and on this record could not have concluded that. There is no, one of the prosecutors, Philip Plosnitz, testified without the confession, they would not have even brought this to the grand jury. There is no question that the confession was the evidence.
No, that's not precise.
Well, that is precisely what Mr. Plosnitz testified to, Your Honor.
What he said contained a confession. Now, maybe the police reports aren't accurate, but he certainly, by his own admission, said things which were highly incriminating.
Your Honor, he said nothing.
All this business about hypothetical murders?
Which is not incriminating in any
sense. I don't agree with you. I think
sense. Your Honor, what happened during that interrogation was, he was asked, what did you do? He said, I didn't do it, I didn't do it, I didn't do it, I will take a polygraph.
Yes, he said he did it also.
Well, he doesn't at that point, Your Honor. He is given a polygraph. He says, I will take a polygraph. They said to him, the results jump right off, the needle jumped right off the page, you failed the polygraph. We have your bloody fingerprints, we have bloody sheets of yours, we have a bloody knife in your pocket. All of these are false, but they say it to him. And he says, how can that be? That's wrong. I didn't kill them. And they said, well, look, we can't lie to you. We'd lose our job. And your body can't lie on the polygraph. And so, is it so outrageous, Your Honor, that he believes them? That's why they tell them these things, so that he will believe them. And he does. And he says, gee, I can't reconcile this. I have no memory of killing my parents.
Now, we've heard all that. What are you definitely arguing? What is your point that you're trying to focus on?
The point, Your Honor, is that the detectives knew what happened in that room. What happened in that room was he said he had no memory of killing his parents. He gave at best a hypothetical version to jog his memory. The detectives withheld that information from the prosecutors. It was never
your contention that Newsom says that the officers must tell the prosecutor everything that they have in their investigation?
No, Your Honor, it is not. But
are you picking out then certain salient points that they have to, or what?
Your Honor, when somebody says, I have no memory of killing my parents, and it is reported as he gave a mechanical account of how he murdered his parents, that's not requiring them to give every detail.
How does Newsom apply to your case?
Because
Newsom out.
Yes, Newsom says, Your Honor, that the police must provide these material. It just follows Brady. And it says that is where the focus of this inquiry should be. It should not be
I'm quoting from it now. We agree with the defendants that the police need not spontaneously reveal to prosecutors every tidbit with the benefit of hindsight, and the context of other evidence could be said to assist the defendants. That is one reason why the duties often depend on the defendant's request.
But, Your Honor, the defense, clearly, this is not a tidbit. When the defense...
What you're trying to do is you're trying to expand on Newsom. I just can't see how it applies.
I'm not trying to expand Newsom at all, Your Honor. This is squarely. What Newsom said was that although the police don't have to provide every tidbit, when in that case they coerced the testimony of witnesses, that they clearly had to give the prosecutors that information. Otherwise, they were depriving the defendant of due process. This is not a tidbit. This is the defense saying, I didn't do it, and the police reporting it as a confession. And that is just
But I thought in Newsom, the defendant didn't know. Did the defendant know everything that the police had done improperly?
In Newsom, Your Honor?
Yeah.
I don't think he knew everything that the police had done improperly.
But Gallagher knew everything. Right?
Yes. Yes, Your Honor.
Yeah.
But that
I don't see how. That seems remote from Brady.
But it is right on point with, first of all, I don't think it's remote from Brady, Your Honor, because Brady requires more.
About telling you that having exculpatory evidence and not disclosing, this is about police lying.
Right, exactly.
That's not the same thing, though.
It is, Your Honor, in this sense. Brady and Giglio require more than the mere passing of information. It has to be useful information.
But you can see how the rule you're contending for would erode the principle that you can't sue a witness for lying, because you're just saying, well, they should have told them that they were going to lie when they testified.
What they should have told the prosecutors, what they had a duty to tell the prosecutors, was...
Wait a second. Brady is about what you... A duty to disclose to a defendant, not a prosecutor.
Yes, what the police had a duty to tell the prosecutor so that the prosecutors could tell the defendant was that the true version of what happened, that he said he had no memory of killing his parents. At that point, once they say that, this trial is a completely different trial. They don't even, it's not immunity about testifying, they don't even take the stand in that case and testify to it's some false version. Secondly, Your Honor, to say that just because the defendant knows about it, it posits this theory. If this prosecutor, in this case, had found on the eve of trial a report that said, written by these detectives, that said, you know, our original reports were materially false. But what he really said was a hypothetical and that he had absolutely no memory of killing his parents. Would there be any question, would this court pause for a second before holding that was absolutely Brady and Giglio material that had to be turned over to the defense before trial for impeachment? It would not, and that is precisely this case.
Okay, thank you, Mr.
Thank you,
Mr. Soto.
May it please the court. The plaintiff takes the extraordinary and unprecedented position in this appeal that a police officer's failure to prepare a complete report of a suspect interrogation in and of itself violates Brady versus Maryland and supports a cause of action under this court's decision in Newsom versus McCabe. That position.
How do you distinguish Newsom?
How do we distinguish Newsom?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, was that the question, Your Honor?
Yes.
Newsom was an entirely different situation. In Newsom, there was evidence that that there was an interference with the defendant's right to a fair trial, that the witnesses who identified the suspect at the lineup then presented perjurious testimony at trial, that the police had told that witness who to pick from the lineup, and that if he told the prosecutors who was picked, he would be prosecuted himself. In this case, there's no evidence of that whatsoever. The plaintiff's position is fundamentally at odds with the well-established proposition that Brady incorporates a trial right and is not a discovery rule. It also contradicts this court's statement and admonition that Judge Coffey just read to the plaintiff during his statement, which concludes with the statement that police need not automatically engage in debriefing sessions with prosecutors. I would emphasize to the court that significantly there is no evidence in this case that any defendant lied to the grand jury which indicted the plaintiff, that they lied at a hearing on the motion to suppress, or that they lied at the plaintiff's criminal trial. The plaintiff deposed the defendant, he deposed the prosecutors, yet he presents no claim nor any evidence whatsoever that the detectives ever lied to the prosecutors during any debriefing sessions that preceded those judicial proceedings. Now, we remind the court that we're at the summary judgment stage here, not on the pleadings, and that it was the plaintiff's burden to present evidence suggesting some interference with the plaintiff's right to a fair trial, and he has simply provided none. It is further our position, Your Honors, that even if the plaintiff had presented evidence of interference with his right to a fair trial in this case, that there would be no claim based on Brady versus Maryland because there was simply no Brady material involved here. And I would submit to the court that of all the cases that we looked at, and I suspect of what the plaintiffs looked at, neither side has been able to present this court with a single case which characterized the variance between a police officer and a suspect's account of an interrogation as a Brady issue.
Well, if the police frame someone by saying that he confessed when he didn't, is there no remedy for that?
I think there would be a remedy for that. For one thing, if the police framed the person and then testified to that version of events at trial, clearly that would constitute perjury, which is of itself a violation of due process, completely independent of any analysis under Brady. Now, the plaintiff brings up the problem with witness immunity, which would be a problem for a plaintiff claiming that there was perjury that caused some problems. But I think that he overstates the reach of witness immunity and understates his obligation to provide evidence here. Witness immunity immunizes the testimony itself. If the plaintiff had presented a case where he said that the defendant made up a confession, I think Judge Pallmeyer recognized a similar cause of action in a district court case, Castillo versus Zuniga, where if he alleged that the detectives made up a confession and then they lied to the prosecutors about it during the trial, and then they testified at trial to that made up connection, that made up confession, that may well give rise to a cognizable claim independent of the witness immunity. But there is no such claim here. I again emphasize that the only claim here is based on the police officer's failure to spontaneously record his version of the interrogation in their police report.
Refresh my recollection. The police officers testified at trial that he said he couldn't remember?
There's no evidence in the record about what the police officer said at trial. Contrary to what Mr. Safer stated when he started to mention tab 10, that is the Rule 23 order that reverses his conviction on the grounds that he was in custody without probable cause at the time he made his statements. And they do refer to statements that the police officers made at the hearing on the motion to suppress. But there's been no argument or contention here that anything was perjurious.
Well, I thought he said there was no variation between what the notes said and what was testified at trial.
Well, he said that, but again, there's no evidence in the record of that. And I would suggest to the court that if the court, independently of the argument...
Well, do you think there was a variation, don't you?
At trial, I really can't answer that because as I stand here, I don't know specifically what the police officer said at trial. I do know...
What happened to the trial transcript?
The trial transcript was never provided as part of the case.
Don't you think that would be a significant part of the case?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's an essential part of the case. To demonstrate an interference...
Did anybody ask for it?
I have no idea, Your Honor.
All right, go ahead.
I would emphasize this, though, with respect to, since we're on the topic of the difference between the plaintiff's account and the defendant's account. Mr. Safer said it a couple of times that Mr. Gardner said he didn't have any memory of these events. I would refer the court to Detective Bev Hendel's police report, which is in the record, in which she specifically stated that the plaintiff stated on repeated occasions that he had no memory of these events. Now, the real quarrel seems to be with the fact that the officers didn't say it enough to satisfy his view that he continued to state that he didn't have recollection throughout the entirety of the interrogation, but I would submit that there's no precedent to support the notion that the plaintiff is entitled to have police reports drafted in a manner that suits him. The last thing that I would emphasize, Your Honor, is that even if this court were inclined to extend Brady for the first time to the variance between a police officer and a suspect's account of an interrogation, that again would be the first time that has occurred, and such an application would be anything but obvious, and as a result, the defendants would be entitled to qualified immunity in accordance with Judge Reinhardt's order. If the court has no further questions, I've concluded.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Stewart.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Mr. Safer, how much time? 2 minutes?
Your Honor, the appendix at A321 is the court's order where it says, at trial, defendant denied that he had confessed to the murders.
I'm not talking about the defendant, I'm talking about the witness.
And then it goes on to talk about Lowry's testimony on page A336. And he says, defendant stated that he got up in the morning.
Yeah, I understand that. I'm talking about, is there the transcript of the officer's testimony at trial?
That is a quote from the officer's testimony.
You said the defendant testified.
No, it said Detective Lowry.
Oh, you said that.
I'm sorry. He said of what happened next. Lowry testified. Defendant stated that he got up in the morning.
Is it correct the transcript is in the record?
Bits and pieces of the transcript are in the record, Your Honor. The entire transcript is not in the record. There's no dispute, none, that, and never was, that the officers testified consistent with their report.
And so, as Mr. Soros mentioned, part of the report does contain a statement that Gallagher said he didn't remember.
Your Honor, that is hours before they contend that he confessed. Everybody admits that for the first 12 hours, he said, I don't remember. But then they say, all of a sudden, he decides to confess. That, the report says, he didn't remember earlier. But then, later on, says, he confessed. And had no mention of the fact that, as Mr. Gallagher stated repeatedly, immediately after the hypothetical, he said, but I'm not going to sign a confession to this because I do not have any recollection of murdering my parents.
And that did he testify to that at trial?
Yes, he testified to that at trial, as recorded by the court's report.
And were the police cross-examined at the trial?
Yes, they were.
So where is that cross-examination?
Again, I think the details of it, the essence of it is summarized by the
I don't understand why the transcript isn't part of the record.
Your Honor, there was never a dispute. There was never a dispute that they testified consistently with the report. That was never an issue.
It's a very unsatisfactory basis for a case, however.
Well, the focus was, Your Honor, on what the report left out. That's where the focus of the case was.
But that's just that business of inducing the prosecution.
It was not, Your Honor. It was the failure of them to give Giglio material.
That's a very weak argument of yours.
Well, Your Honor, just as you just said.
Framing someone is serious, obviously. but turning it into a Brady case is very forced.
Because, as Your Honor just said, were they cross-examined? They framed Mr. Gallagher in this case. Well, because it was never an issue, Your Honor, that they didn't testify consistently with the reports was never an issue. The testimony is summarized by the court. It says it gives a detailed account.
I don't care what the court said. I said the question is why didn't you present the transcript?
Because it was never
not just pieces and segments that are advantageous to your point.
Oh, Your Honor, it was never an issue. We can provide the district court and then this court with the record, which shows that it's exactly as quoted by the Court of Appeal.
Okay,
that
make your point.
Okay, Your Honor, the last one second. This was a frame. And when Your Honor said, were they cross-examined? Exactly right. They were cross-examined, but with no impeachment material, because they withheld it. There was a contradiction. Mr. Gallagher said one thing, the detective said another. But the cross-examination is meaningless.
Impeachment material. What you're saying somehow is that if a police officer is intending to lie at the trial, then he has a duty to give a truthful version of his testimony to the defendant.
To the prosecutor who would give it to the defendant. Absolutely. Is that an outrageous proposition?
That's extremely strange.
Your Honor, that is what the Constitution requires, and this court has said that if the police fail to do that, then we should punish them for that. at that, for this precise violation, the precise violation of failing to turn over that material. That's what the court held.
But turning over material.
That's what the court said in Newsom. In Newsom, the court said.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Thank you to both.